Available now in bookstores. Learn more at lastwordsofjesus.com.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul tells women in the church to wear coverings on their heads. Now, John, certainly at first glance, it seems like a command that doesn't have much relevance today, but what's it really getting at? Anything believers should apply today?
Yeah, that's a very important question because people ask it a lot, especially with the feminist agenda raining down on all of us. What is the relationship of women to men in the church in leadership? If you take that passage in its fullness, it has many nuances. And in the commentary that I wrote on 1 Corinthians, I deal with all of them. But for a simple answer, what does it mean that women in the church are to keep their heads covered? Obviously, in the Corinthian culture, submission of a woman was demonstrated by her head covering. In other words, women covered their heads as a sign of their submission. It was an outward symbol. We have outward symbols today. Women wear dresses. Men don't in our culture. So that's one of the symbols. For a man to cover his head, then, would be to reverse the order. For a woman to uncover her head in that culture would be to declare her rebellion. So the apostle is simply saying, whatever the culture determines are the symbols of a woman's submission, stay within those symbols because you're demonstrating the submission. Because the submission itself is not cultural, it's divine. It's on God's creative order that the principle of male headship and female submission operate. So don't do anything outwardly to show a rebellious heart against God's order.
We appreciate you listening today to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from 1 Corinthians, just visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm thrilled to invite you to this year's Faith and Freedom Forum at North Jacksonville Baptist Church on Tuesday, April 2nd. Join other local pastors and church leaders as we gather in community and learn how together we can defend our religious liberty. I look forward to seeing you there.
Tuesday, April 2nd at North Jacksonville Baptist Church, the Faith and Freedom Forum. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours today at faithfreedomforum.com.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. If that didn't wake you up, maybe we can do that as we open God's Word today. Hey, good to be in studio, even though it's not her regular studio.
Well, based on the other day, it was kind of a bad deal last Thursday. Last time I was on air, because David and Craig took Friday, it was a disaster. It was like, and I take the fault because I should have gone to a replay early, Brad, but I kept thinking I had a guest and he was Zooming and I kept thinking I was going to get him on. It's just a matter of switch flip and it never happened. And so, we ended up finally 20 minutes into dead air, finally, getting a replay on there. And so they moved us over now to this studio. We're in a new studio, at least for a while. So hopefully it'll be better and we won't have any issues like that. So.
No, man, a little change in the environment here. We have a window in this studio.
I know. We can.
Jeremy, well done, man. Do you have a window over there? Yeah, I guess you do, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, for 7 years, we haven't had a window. And I'm good, Jeremy. If you want to keep us in here, we actually get to see the rain when it comes, not just hear it. And you know, it's but Doug, good to be back, brother. And
well, you've been gone for a little while.
I have. Well, we took off the week of the TPC. It was, I guess, technically spring break around town, even though I know a lot of people maybe even taking this week off, last week. So spring break is happening for a lot of kids.
Well, did you watch the Valspar?
Yeah, of course I did.
Well, you know, okay, so it's making me want to get out and play golf with you. I mean, like between the TPC and then watching that was great. And so,
I haven't seen you since, I haven't seen you since Sunday at my house before the week of the TPC. But,
wasn't it a great TPC?
It was.
Scheffler, I was so.
I stayed all the way to the end.
I was praying for Scheffler. I was so glad he won. It was really awesome.
It really was. But good to be back. Thank you for my gift, by the way.
That's from the ShepCon.
Every once in a while, Doug just surprises me. He's very generous. And Reformed Systematic Theology, Volume 1.
Joel Beakey, man.
I love Beakey.
It is good stuff. Well, listen, I have to tell you about a couple of things. One, this week our guest is Glenn Ellison.
I love Glenn.
You remember Glenn? And
well, I see Glenn regularly.
Well, so. Glenn used to do Camp Consequence. Mm-hmm. Right now it's called the Parent Help Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are struggling with your kids, if you're struggling with your grandkids, if you just want to get so this Glenn has been doing this for a long time, and I think you will be encouraged. And on that note, I have to tell you something that happened to a friend of ours, and you're not going to believe it. I mean, Jeremy, I want you and Wilson to hear this. This is just unbelievable.
Wait, is Wilson over there?
Yeah,
he is. Hey, we need to pull that curtain back so we can see you guys.
Yeah.
You
know? So anyway, a friend of ours is in Washington, D.C. at the airport with their teenage child. Okay.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Well, that's terrible, right? At the airport. So the mom, it's just her and her son.
Mm-hmm.
He struggles with some ADHD issues. He's a 15-year-old. He got agitated with her because she's telling him he can't have something that he wants. So he uses an expletive, a curse word, back to her, and she takes her bottled soda, and you know how you can put your finger, your thumb on it? And when he cussed her, she did that. The lady sitting next to her called 911 and said, there's a woman abusing this man or this child here. And so the police came out and arrested her for assault, I kid you not, in the airport for spraying with a Coke bottle. They said, yes. They said, you know what, ma'am, if you would have grabbed him, if you would have hit him with no marks, we couldn't have arrested because we can see the evidence of the soda still on his shirt. We have to arrest you. Is that not insane? You've got people looting stores out in California and Washington and Portland, Oregon. You got people in Chicago, people doing all kinds of terrible things. Mm-hmm. And you're arresting a mom for spraying her child with a soda because he uses a curse word at her? I mean, that is absolutely unbelievable to me. It makes me never want to fly through the Washington, D.C. area or New York or Chicago or any place else like that.
Mm.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. Which intro to your guest on Thursday?
Glenn Ellison, the Parent Help Center.
Yes.
But you know what? Here's a mom who says, you're not going to talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do anything but spray him with a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that not unbelievable to you? If somebody would have told you that, like, that never would have happened 20, 30 years ago.
Probably 5 years ago.
But some lady calls 911. This lady sprayed her son with soda, and the police come and have to arrest her. I am just blown away by that, man.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I.
I've known Glenn like you for many, many years. He's a regular at our Friday morning study that we do at the Jacksonville Business Fellowship. He's been a longtime attender of our Tuesday study that we do on the West Side. And Glenn is so passionate about what he does. Former NFL Oakland Raider back in the day. And he has got quite the testimony. But the parents that he has worked with over the years and the changes that he's seen in those kids, he will be an encouragement to any of you listening.
Yeah, he will be. And again, it's the Parent Help Center. And, you know, we will probably take some questions, but he does a good job with that. And they've been around for quite a long time. And, you know, I just have to tell you, Brad, I was so upset when I heard about this friend of ours because she was basically a single mom. Mm-hmm. She's raised three kids, never had a I don't even know if she's ever had a traffic ticket. Mm. And she's in nursing school now trying to make it. And she gets arrested for spraying her child with soda. I mean, I'm going to probably try to – I'm getting more information now. Mm-hmm. And when I get more, I may try to mobilize an effort to call Congressman Rutherford and some other people to – say, you got to step
so
in on
So is she
this.
A resident of Florida?
Yeah, she's here. Yeah. She was – she and listen, she got up there, and she had been up there because their flight got canceled, and so they were stuck up there for a few days, and they're just at the airport eating, and her son went on a tirade, which teenagers can do. Mm-hmm. Listen, those things happen, but she – all she did was spray him. She goes, you're not going to talk to me like that, and sprayed him. And this lady next to him called the police. Like, that's, can you imagine? Like, have you ever taken your children out? Well, like, better not say it on air. Big
exactly.
brother may be listening. But,
exactly.
But there, I can tell you that, you know, with my older kids, mm-hmm. so I think we're outside the statute of limitations. We used to take them to the bathroom, and we did not spare the rod.
Yeah.
I mean, we administered the rod mm-hmm. lovingly, mm-hmm. and we explained the consequence.
Yep.
But there were definite consequences. You did not, one, you never cuss mm-hmm. your parent, and you never talked back to your parent. There were always consequences. And she tried to just get his attention with that, and she ends up arrested and now has to have an attorney, have to go back up there for a trial or for a and I'm like, that's insane.
It really is. It really is. I think, yeah, whether it's us raising our kids, I think of families like her who believe biblically that we are to discipline our children, you know, and what does that look like, you know, and think, man, my parents would have been thrown in jail today.
Oh my, you know, my dad would still be in jail probably just because I got so many spankings over at the old part of the church. We had a new church building and an old church building, and I call the old church the spanking place because that's where I used to get taken to get the sense beat into me.
Some of our listeners may remember the I think it was part of the blue collar comedy tour when I think it was Bill Engvall or something would talk about how he would get disciplined. His mother would look at him and say, you need to go out in the back, cut a switch down, you know, from the tree.
Oh, yeah.
You're out there looking at that tree, go, well, I don't want to use that switch because that'll break my back.
I know. Well, I can remember my parents used to say, well, if it ain't a big enough switch, you're going to get double the licks,
exactly.
man. I mean, so anyway.
Well, interesting, I'm curious to know, was your mother more the disciplinarian or your dad?
Oh, it was definitely my dad, but, you know, my mom was not opposed to switching my legs, man, if I needed it.
Well, my mother was the disciplinarian. If my dad's tuned in, he would affirm that. And but if it got to where my dad had to discipline his We had really messed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My mother would discipline us first, and then if it was really bad, then it went to the next level.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, and I know what Glenn does a lot of times. Glenn addresses the lack of discipline from parents, the lack of correct discipline, let's just mm-hmm. call it that. But we've moved into an era now that I'm really curious to pick his brain on because – I believe you can make good choices as a parent. You can be a good disciplinarian. You can have consequences, but your kids are still influenced by the world, which empowers them. Think about how this teenager got empowered mm-hmm. at that airport
yeah.
when the police come in and his mom's saying, you're not going to talk to me that way. And she sprayed a soda on him. And now the kid goes, That's right. I'll do whatever I want. At 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, I think to your point, what's influencing our kids? Well, what's influencing us? You know, we talk about it often that we are, your mind is being renewed somewhere today. Your kids' minds are being renewed somewhere. It's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
We want to help renew your mind in the gospel. We want to help you renew your mind in what the biblical text says.
Yeah.
And you and I, and most of our listeners, are probably the result of how we've renewed our mind and where we've renewed our minds.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not telling you how to parent, but you can rest assured that if you're not renewing that child's mind, they're getting it renewed somewhere.
Oh, they are. Well, I have to tell you, my son Ryan was up with my grandkids, Ezra and Elliot.
Mm.
And so I got up Sunday and was taking them to go get some donuts. And so I had a little devotion on Evangelion, right? Yeah. And on the way there, as he goes, hey, Poppy. I said, yeah. He goes, Daddy told me you're going to be in heaven, so we'll be into heaven together forever. Isn't that great? I mean, he's, is that not awesome when your grandchild just, and he has such a vibrant look on his face about it, and it was just so precious. And, you know, parents, grandparents, this week is a great opportunity for you to remind your kids about the King.
Yes.
King Jesus. Yeah. It's the week we celebrate, and it is Easter week, Passion Week, and I encourage you to spend some time talking to them about the King of Kings,
Amen.
What it means to be king.
Amen. Hey, glad you tuned in today. We'll take a quick break. Call us at 844-777-7928. You can email us your questions at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175. Or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
I'm trying to check on microphones here. That one doesn't work.
Yeah,
but I got one that works here.
That's all right.
We're just adjusting to a new studio. Not that this will be our long-term play, but it's all right. We're good.
That's
Jeremy,
all right.
Thanks for taking care of us. If you want to call this afternoon, Doug and I'd love to take your calls at 844-777-7928. You can always email us any questions you have on anything we're talking about. You can email that at ask@swatradio.com. I was down in Naples, as you know, last week.
Terrible place.
You know, I'll tell you what, that's a pretty sweet spot. And there's some really good folks. A lot of Midwestern people who have come, they either spend the winter there and just sitting there socializing with these, maybe a generation above you and I, but just sweet people.
Yeah, you ever notice how people don't retire to Chicago or Washington,
yeah,
D.C.?
Yeah, why is that?
Or, I can't, you know, New
can't
York
imagine
City.
Why not.
let's go up to Brooklyn. Let's retire to Brooklyn. I don't think so.
Well, these people are so kind. I had an opportunity to share with a couple of them SWAT radio, and they were like, oh, we're going to tune in. So any of our friends down in Naples who may have tuned in or online, call us. Love to hear from you. And put some sunscreen on.
Yeah, put some on down there. It's been some beautiful weather. Well, we are in Mark chapter 4, finishing up chapter 4, looking at this storm. And, you know, when you think about our lives, we a lot of times get hit with storms that we never see coming. There's two or three SWAT guys right now dealing with storms that they didn't see coming.
Sure.
They just came out of nowhere. And that's the way it happens on the lake over there, Sea of Galilee. You know, they call it a sea. It's a big fresh body of water. Oh, it's huge. You were over there with me, and we were out on that lake, and I actually taught this text when we were out on the boat. Mm-hmm. But I've learned so much just in the last week of studying that, again, you know, God, it's like, again, takes you to a new level. He goes, okay, you're going to teach this. Well, if you're going to teach it, you're going to have to see all these things. So he starts revealing stuff. And I'm going to tell you, you know, this was more about the training of the 12, the disciples, than it was just about encouraging them to get through the storms of life, which is what we hear a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
But it was training, and it was dealing with a specific issue that we all struggle with, that is the issue of self-reliance. And, you know, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we've been in Mark for a while, and it's really important to understand that the book of Mark was written contextually. We want to start with verse 1, where it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark's purpose is to lay out that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, and he was the Son of God. And he uses a word there for gospel. It translates gospel as euangelion is the Greek word, and it means a king who rules, has won a great military victory, a new king that's been crowned, or a new king that has been coronated. And so he was very specific about that. And when Jesus made that statement of preaching the gospel, Mark records in Mark 1, he called those that were listening to repent. He called them to believe and to follow. And we've gone through those things and what they mean. And then Mark just kind of unfolds these different signs of casting out demons, of healing the sick, healing a leper, healing a paralytic. And even through all those healings, Mark continued to reinforce that Jesus' primary ministry when he came was not to heal people, but was to preach and clarify the euangelion of the kingdom of God, what it meant. And so these healings authenticated him, because it says in the scriptures he'll do it. But he did things like when before he healed the paralytic, he said, your sins are forgiven, which, you know, that just threw the religious leaders in a fit, because they're like, only God can do that. And he said, so that you know I have the power to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, get up and walk. And that had to blow their minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they never denied his miracles, but they attributed his power to Satan.
Yeah.
And so Jesus began to pull away from the religious leaders, and he took his message to the people, and he basically commissioned 12 guys and said, you're going to be my guys, you're going to be my ambassadors, you're going to have my authority when you go out. And his family came in as in the midst of these things, and they said, we got to get him out of here. He's alienating the religious people. Something's going to happen. He's lost his mind. And so Jesus then at that point takes his disciples, and he's teaching down by the Sea of Galilee, and he teaches them what he calls the most important parable about the kingdom that's in the Bible. He says this is the key to understanding all the other parables, and he talks about four soils. He talks about a hard soil, a rocky soil, a thorny soil, and a good soil. And he kind of just lays out and says, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any. And they didn't, so he took them aside and he explained it to them, that the hard heart is the kind that's not even receptive to the gospel, and Satan comes along and snatches the seed, even though the seed spread on it. And he said the rocky soil and the thorny soil both produce a plant that looks like the real deal, but the rocky soil doesn't have a root that's really rooted. The thorny soil isn't really rooted because it's more consumed by the thorns than mm-hmm. being strong enough to go through mm-hmm. the thorns. Because mm-hmm. let's face it, you and I live in a thorny world, yeah. and the thorns come around you and me just like anybody else, but we're rooted in the real thing mm-hmm. so that that the nutrients spiritually push us through the thorns to say, no, yeah. we're not going to let the thorns choke it out.
Well, and one is this picture of the sun, the heat burning it off, and then yeah. the other is the thorns that choke it out. We all experience the sun. You even mentioned earlier, the trials that come into life.
That's right.
The sun that burns it off, the heat that comes into your life, is it going to burn your faith away? Or is it going to help your faith?
Well,
is it going to renew your faith?
Well, and so in that parable, he lays out basically the hard soil to Pharisees. The rocky soil is like the curious Jewish people. Mm. The thorny soil is the Hellenist, or the people that are just into the material world. And then the good soil is the true followers. And then he followed that up with three more little stories or parables that kind of reveal the part we play in spreading the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And in the first one, it was about, you know, just letting your light shine. So he's saying, you know, you get this light, you don't put it under a basket or under a bed, you let it shine. The second parable was about how God grows the seed. It's not that you and I grow it. We just spread it. And then the third parable was about the mustard seed and how it starts off as the smallest, but it continues. And it's really about the kingdom being unstoppable. Well, this week, we see Jesus take the training of the 12, and he takes it to a whole new level because he basically is going to strip them of their self-reliance because these are all fishermen, or seven of them are anyway. And he's going to reveal, you may think that you're better than me in some areas. You may think that you can take care of yourself in some areas. But I'm going to reveal to you that I'm God.
And you're dependent on me.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it takes place on the Sea of Galilee. And Brad, when you got there, I mean, the first time you saw it, it wasn't it amazing?
It is. Absolutely amazing. It's beautiful.
Just to see it where it is yeah. in the context. It's surrounded by mountains. It's yeah. got mountains on the east, mm-hmm. mountains on the west. It's 13 miles long. It's about 7.5 miles wide, 680 feet below sea level.
Yeah.
There's not another body of water like it. It is the most studied body of water, surrounded on one side by 3,000-foot mountains, on the other side by 2,000, and the water flows into it from Mount Hermon. And it's the cleanest, sweetest water, and it is produces a lot of fish. In fact,
some good fish, too.
Well, really good fish. That normal catches of 600 pounds at a time of fish, and we're not talking huge monster fish. We're just talking about lots of fish.
Yeah.
And they actually had one recorded catch back in the late 1800s, like right around the 1900 time frame, where they threw nets in from the shore and hauled in over 9,000 pounds of fish.
That's from the shore?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
9,000 pounds, right? Yeah.
Well, I think for me, and you know, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I was thinking about, obviously, going over there, a lot of things, you know, kind of come to life. It's I think so oftentimes we think we know what something's going to be like until we actually see it in person. And I think one of the things that caught me by surprise was just how small it was.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, obviously, in Texas, and we've got some great lakes in the Austin area.
Lake Travis, man.
Lake Travis. And I grew up skiing on that water, and that's a big lake. I mean, it's big. Well, Travis is much bigger than the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, it's just a small thing. But yeah. But did you realize it provides over 50% of the water for Israel? So as we look at this text, Mark 4, 35 through 41, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at our problem of self-reliance, His provision or providence to strengthen our faith, and then His proof that Jesus of Nazareth is His Son. And by His, I'm talking about God the Father, Yahweh. So our problem of self-reliance, Yahweh's providence to strengthen our faith, and Yahweh's proof that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Yep. That's what we're going to be looking at.
And we'll look at that all week. We'll tackle this first one today, and then tomorrow and Wednesday. Your guest, Glenn Ellison, will be in on Thursday. Glad you tuned in. Call us at 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. New York appeals court agreed to hold off collection of former President Donald Trump's $454 million civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. Mr. Trump says he's satisfied.
So I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post either $175 million in cash or bonds or security or whatever is necessary very quickly within the 10 days.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceling a planned visit to the U.S. by a high-level delegation following the Security Council vote today demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
The resolution passed 14-0 after the U.S. decided not to use its veto power and instead abstained. Netanyahu accused the U.S. of retreating from what he said had been a principled position by allowing the vote to pass without conditioning the ceasefire on the release of hostages being held by Hamas. The Israeli delegation was to present White House officials with plans for an expected ground invasion of the strategic Gaza town of Rafah. Bob Agnew, Washington.
Also at SRNNews.com, French President Emmanuel Macron warning Russia not to exploit the attack in Moscow.
There's some extraordinary commentary in the pro-Kremlin newspapers this morning. One of them says there are plenty of reasons for thinking Kiev did this. There are basic truths. Fire burns, wind blows, the Kiev regime are murderers and terrorists, presenting no evidence at all. And another paper comes from Moscow Pravda, quotes a Russian MP as saying, the best and only response to this will be our victory. We simply must take Kiev and crush this terrorist beast.
That is BBC correspondent Steve Rosenberg. U.S. and British governments announcing sanctions against a company linked to a Chinese government over a string of cyber activity. This is SRN News.
It may sound a bit silly at first, but for years, Gallup has been doing a worldwide survey which researchers take and establish a happiness index of 130 countries around the world. Vancouver economist John Helliwell co-authored the report and says he's never seen such an extreme change as this year. For the first time, the U.S. dropping from the top 20 to number 23 in happiness. Canada now ranked 15, where the U.S. was last year. But here's the disturbing trend in North America. Unhappiness has increased at an alarming rate for people under 30. And for the seventh year in a row, Finland is the most happy country in the world. On a scale of 1 to 10, how's your happiness? What gives you inner joy and peace? Psalm 16, show me the way of life. Grant me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. I'm Charles Morris at haventoday.org.
Expect some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on the Arlington Expressway westbound at the ramp to the MLK Parkway. Also, there's a broken-down vehicle on I-10 eastbound at the ramp from US 301, the Baldwin exit, blocking the on-ramp right lane. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 65. Tuesday, partly sunny, high 82. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in. Call us at 844-777-7928. I know we had a caller earlier in that end of that last segment wanting some information on John Mazel's
information. In fact, I'm going to replay that John Mazel this Friday for Easter. John has been a lifelong mentor, friend of mine, and that message he gave on that was really, really,
very
really good.
Solid.
And it's Easter week, so I thought it'd be a good thing.
And,
for good
you know, call us, email us, ask@swatradio.com. If you have questions or you want something like that, shoot us an email, let us know. We'll get that out to you.
Well, Brad, I want to jump into this first part of Mark 4:35, our problem of self-reliance. I didn't really see this. All the times I've taught on it and read on it, I didn't really see it, and it'll come out in the text. Mm. So why don't you go ahead and read verses 35 through 41?
Yep.
And today we're just going to tap down into verses 35 and 36, okay?
Yeah. All right, here it is. We're in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Verse 39, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
These are the words of God. And, you know, Brad, this book, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we believe was the first gospel written. And if that's the case, this is the first recorded question of Jesus. And isn't it interesting that it is, "Do you not care?" Mm. That's the first recorded question of Jesus by his followers. Don't you care? Now, just imagine that for a second. That's the question. It would be like your child saying, "Don't you care about me?" Mm-hmm. You don't really care about me. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the insinuation. Don't you care that we're perishing? That's what we see. And so one of the problems for the disciples here is they were very self-reliant. And you don't notice it right away because it doesn't just jump right out at you. But we all struggle with self-reliance. We're very self-reliant people in this country. How many times have you heard, "Pull yourself up by your bootstraps"? Come on, you just got to push through kind of a thing.
I've heard people say that's scripture.
No, it ain't in the Bible.
or God will never give you more than you can handle.
Oh, yeah.
See, where's that?
This same story is recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8. And just notice going in verse 35, it says it was on that day. This is the day. What's been going on? Jesus had been teaching. Remember, he took his disciples back to teach them privately. Then he comes back, and now it's toward the end of the day, because it says when evening had come.
Same day the parables.
Of the sower and the soils and a lot of other teaching. So now he's getting ready, and he says, let us go to the other side. Now, the other side, if you remember from when you were in Israel with me, always meant, when you see that phrase, the other side, it's referring to the Decapolis. Mm-hmm. It's not just the other side geographically, it's the other side spiritually.
Yeah. Culturally.
Culturally, because you remember when we went to Scythopolis and we saw all the ruins? You have the theater, you have the saunas, you have all the place where the gladiators would be. This is the entertainment district. This is New York City. This is cultural, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It's a Gentile area. Now, this would have been very difficult for the disciples to go there, but Jesus was on mission. By the way, this is the first time in his whole ministry, or the beginning of his earthly ministry, that he went to a Gentile area. Mm-hmm. So this would have been pretty radical for them. This would have, well, why are we going there? Wait a minute. Those are Gentiles. That's a heathen place. Where? Right. Why are we going there? But one of the things is, when you follow Jesus, you don't get to determine who you minister to. You don't get to determine where you minister. Jesus will take us to places that challenge us. That challenge us physically, socially, even morally, that are going to stretch. I remember when God was moving me to leave the FBI, I said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere, but please don't send me to someplace cold. Where does he send me? To Russia. I go to Russia, man. The most southern part of Russia is north of Minnesota. So it's like, just, I'm like, come on, Lord, really? And I end up going to the tundra up there, 40 below zero. It was cold. And that's where God wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And so I went there. Well, the disciples, it's the same thing. So he takes them there. Well, look at what it says in verse 36. And this was what never really jumped off the page at me, Brad. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. Now, let that sink in for a second. Who was leading who?
Mm-hmm.
We got this, Jesus. We know the sea. You know, this is our area. You're just a carpenter. You go relax in the back. You're tired. You go sleep. Do we do that? Do we, you know, God tells us to do something and we do it in our own strength? Mm. How often does that happen? Mm. And you know, thankfully, I've had great mentors and teachers who continually have reminded me about John 15:5, abide in me. Yeah. That word means to continue with. We can't say we believe in Jesus as our king, but we're going to follow our plan instead of his plan.
Yeah.
And don't we do that often?
Well, I think of, I'm glad you brought up John 15, because I think the abide, most people are familiar with that text. But connected, we were really connected to him. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes we think, because we do X, Y, and Z, we go to church, we give, whatever, that we're connected. And so oftentimes, especially in the West, we are the most disconnected people, quite frankly. And I'm in that group,
because what we have been trained to do in the West is we start growing in our knowledge of the Bible from a human standpoint, on a human level, and even maybe some spiritual knowledge, a little bit of spiritual knowledge in there. And we become like overconfident teenagers who tell their parents, you know what? I'm an adult now. You know what I mean? Like, we get to that place where we forget that without Jesus, we're nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, anything we do without God, without him and depending upon him, is ultimately going to fail.
Seems like we've had this discussion before, Doug.
Oh, many times.
The longer we walk with Christ, the more dependent we are.
We have to be.
Because we realize our own depravity. I was sharing this with a guy at lunch today. That, the more I know Christ, the more depraved I realize I really am.
That's exactly.
And the more I need him.
Well, God does 7 or 8 miracles related to the sea, which was their world. It was their place where they were strong to let them know, listen, I'm not interested in your earthly talents. I'm not interested in your background. Mm. What I'm looking for is for somebody to rely on me. And you know, Brad, he's like, I tell the fish what to do. You remember, guys, mm-hmm. you're out there all night, a time when
couldn't
the fish,
catch a thing.
Yeah, when the fish should have been biting. And then in the daytime, in the morning, when they don't bite, and I say, throw it out in the shallow water where they not, and you get all these fish. I did that. Remember, I tell the wind and the waves, I control gravity. I know a fish that has a coin in its belly mm-hmm. that you're going to catch and that's going to pay your taxes. Yeah. I do that. I cast out demons. I heal the blind. I forgive people their sins. I turn water into wine. I'm in control, guys. You need to trust me, yeah. is what he's telling them. And it reminds me of what Paul wrote in Colossians 1, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then he says this, right? He says, for this I toil, struggling with what? All my energy? No, he says, all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That's a powerful verse because Paul is saying he does it in me, you know?
What a reminder. You know, we were talking about it as we came in, how we are such a Greek-driven, discipleship-oriented, give me the information, when in reality, the information has to lead to a transformed life.
Yeah.
And for most of us, we're good just going to church,
yep.
just being a part of the club. But that's not what Jesus has in mind here. But we're going to take one final break. Call us at 844-777-7928. Love to hear from you. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Pontevedra listens at 91.9.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Monday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. You can also email us at ask@swatradio.com. Questions, comments, whatever you have for us, let us know. But obviously, we'd love to hear from you in person, so give us a shout.
You know, Brad, we were talking in the break about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, you can have knowledge without wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without knowledge.
Amen.
Amen. And unfortunately, a lot of people believe because they have knowledge that automatically puts them in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the wise man. I want to follow. I want to follow Jesus. Even on the Sea of Galilee. I don't care if he was a carpenter. Put him in my driver's seat.
Well, could there not have been a safer place to be?
Yeah.
Than in that boat, despite the storms that are going on.
Yeah.
Than to be there with Christ. People have often said.
Yeah.
The safest place you can be is in the center of God's will.
Yes.
Well, they're in the center of God's will because he's got control.
Well, you know, I teach people how to. I'm a firearms instructor. I train law enforcement officers and stuff and train civilians in that. And, you know, there's a lot.
By the way, thank you for doing that.
Well, there's a lot of people that know how to use a gun, but there's not a lot of people that know when to use it and when not to use it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people, like one guy I was teaching in a class, I ask him, you know, I always ask people, why are you going through this concealed class? And they go, well, because I want to shoot my neighbor's dog. I'm like, you can't do that, man. Just because your neighbor's dog comes on your property doesn't mean you can shoot it, you know.
Maybe you need to say, I don't want to know why you want to do this.
But, you know, and we laugh at that because, but he had a knowledge of how to use the gun, but he didn't have wisdom of when to use it and when not to. The disciples, Jesus had just pulled them aside and taught them privately about the kingdom. What happens when we get spiritual knowledge? It's easy. What does Satan do in our lives, you and me?
He'll puff us up quickly.
Yes, he puffs us up. And so the disciples are like, Jesus, you're tired. You go sit in the back. To presume to tell the King of Kings he needed to do anything? I'm struck by the fact it says he's the one that said, let us go to the other side. And so he.
Well, I love, by the way, I love that you included Colossians 1:28-29.
Yeah.
Think about that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I mean, it's part of what we do here. This is why we do, because our goal is to present you, the listener, mature in Christ. And yet, you think about the trials or the storms, and we'll get into this further in the week. Would you cancel out any of the trials you've gone through up to this point in your life?
Oh, you know what? No. And Lori and I talk about this often. In fact, I was sharing with you, I don't know if it was on air, but maybe before we started, about the guys at SWAT. We have several of our SWAT guys who them and their wives are walking through trials right now. Yeah. Some really significant trials. And I have to tell you, I'm blown away at looking at how they're displaying faith in it. And it's a beautiful thing to see people embrace God's providence, which we're going to get into tomorrow. Because a lot of times when we see the storm, you know, we refer to that as satanic. We refer to it. Listen, we live in a broken world. Storms come all the time. And God is sovereign over everything. Every storm, there's not one storm that comes into your life that he is not sovereign over. And so as those storms come into our life, there's always something that he's getting out of us, whether it's bringing glory to his name through the faith that's displayed, or whether it's training us to grow in our faith. And both of those are good things, whether it's a Job moment, I call it, or a Peter moment. Yeah. Now, think about it. Peter had lots of failures. He had storms of failure. And that's when you fail, that's a storm, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think of James where he says, consider it pure joy when you encounter, and he uses this word, various trials. That word actually is a word we would use for multicolored you know, think about the trials in your life. Think about the trials in my life. I think back just not that long ago, a little over a year ago with my grandson, Graham. Mm-hmm. And boy, I wanted that trial over quick. That's not what in God's plan. Mm-mm. And while we rejoice in the outcome of that trial, we also knew in the midst of that trial, there was absolutely nothing we could do
that's right.
to fix that problem.
Well, and here's
and that's what you're dealing with here.
Exactly. And here's a question for you. As you brought up Graham, and I could easily use that for us and Rachel.
Yes.
James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. How often do you ask for wisdom not going into a trial or in the midst of a trial? Like if you're experiencing what I call, you know, no problem life, like, I mean, we all have problems, but I mean like nothing major, right? Mm-hmm. You're either going into a storm that you don't know about, you're in a storm, or you're coming out.
Right.
And a lot
right.
of times when we come out of the storm, we're like, whoo, glad that's over. Right. Glad that's over.
Relax.
And then pretty soon there's another storm mm-hmm. coming. But when do we ask for wisdom? It's when we're in the storms, right? It's when we're in the midst of it or we see it on the mm-hmm. horizon and we don't know mm-hmm. what to do. And once we ask, that's what God is wanting. He's wanting us to depend on him. Mm-hmm. He's wanting us to lean into him. Not to get angry with him. Why me, Lord?
Right.
Now that's natural. You see, and we'll get into this later this week as we talk about how even David kind of had to confess, you know, or he expresses, Lord, where are you? Why are you silent?
Yeah. One thing you brought out here in the last segment, which we were talking on the break as well, that I've never seen that. I've never this idea that they brought him, they put him in the boat,
yeah.
You know, in the sense that, hey, Jesus, take a load off. We've got this. We'll go across to the other side. We can handle this. How often does God put you? I mean, I'm leaving here this afternoon when I get out of here to go show some property. With my wife, to a client. We know that market. We know this. We've even got wisdom, by the way, you know. But we're still, one of the things we do is, I know in the car, headed out to the beach to show property, this is what part of our time will be. God, you've got this. But we are dependent on you, mm-hmm. you know. But so oftentimes, we depend on ourselves. We depend on our experience. We even depend on our wisdom, which wisdom is great.
Well, especially when a storm comes. Like, for instance, like, why is our first response as his kids not to go to him? Your car breaks. Mm-hmm. Your house has a problem. Like, he's in charge of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of going, God, who do you want me to call?
That's good.
Who do you want me to go to? Because, remember, he directed them, let's go to the other side. Why? Why aren't we going to the other side? Well, because that's where he wanted them to go. Maybe he doesn't want you to go to the person who's going to give you the best deal. Maybe he doesn't want you to go to the person you've always used this time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe every day when we wake up, we should defer to his kingship. Mm-hmm. Lord, you're on the throne today. Please don't let me deviate from your plan. And remember, I said that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we do is, Lord, you're king, but I really want to follow my plan today.
I'm only laughing because there may be some listeners out here who can identify with this.
Yeah.
I'm a checklist guy. I've got this, and this to do today. And it fills my calendar.
Well, you remember, Brad, and I know we only got a couple of minutes, but you remember the first time I asked you to go to India?
Yeah.
I want to share about that a little because there may be some new people.
It was just across the hall in our old studio there.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was down the hall in an old studio we had, and Doug asked me. Literally, we've wrapped up the radio broadcast. I've got my hand on the door of the studio about to walk out. He says, hey, real quick, let me ask you a question. Sure, Doug. I want you to go to India with me. And of course, you know, recovering people pleaser, I said, well, when? And I think it was 3 weeks.
It was.
Something like 2 or 3 weeks. And now my typical response, and maybe some of you can identify,